Now, this word vichara.
Mataji asked me, where did you learn these things? So I'd like to speak something about vichara. So it may be many people read books, many people hear classes, but who learns is one who is having vichara. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam itself talks about it. It says that Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamalam Yadvaishnavanam Priyam, sometimes Puranamalam Yadvaishnavanam Priyam, Yasmin Paramahamsyam Jnanam Param Giyate, Tatta Jnana Viraga Bhakti Saritam Naishkarmi Mavishkratam, Tatshrunvan Supatan Vicharanaparo Bhaktya Vimuchyanaraha. Find it in the 12th canto, last chapters. Isn't it this verse? Tatshunvan, so here, and then Tatshunvan, Supatan, then study. Here, and then what? Study. And then what to do? Vicharana paro. So, Vicharana paro bhaktya vimuchya naraha. So, when you do vichar, contemplation on what has been heard, that gives realization. So, contemplation is very important. That is why you will find this word vichara. That is why this vichara. Nana shastra vicharanaika nipuno saddharma sansthapako. So why this vichara word is used? Bhagavatam and Shadgosas. Because until unless we do vichara, saddharma cannot be understood. So that is why it is explained, one of the aspects, the 64 aspects of devotional service is what? Saddharma prucha. So saddharma prucha has to be done. Without that, our philosophy, though known, cannot be internalized. So internalization of the knowledge happens by vichar. That is why this word vichar is said. Pramana, prameyantargata, jiva vicharaha. So eternal religion sambandha vidhi prayojana, the individual spirit soul, vicharikata. This day now, Vani Prajanath, he left. Now when he left, you know what happened? The grandmother thought, there's something wrong with this boy now. That's what happens when some boys come to ISKCON. So they thought, now let us get this boy married. He is not agreeing for it. Now this day, Rajanath became so eager, he came early. This day, Rajanath came a little too early to Shiva's courtyard. The devotees living in Godruma had come to Shiva's courtyard to see the evening arati. Paramahams Babaji, Sri Prem Babaji, Vaishnava Das, Advaita Das, and all other devotees had already entered the temple to see the arati. Seeing the residents of Godruma, Vajna thought, now I have their association. My life is great success. Seeing humble, devoted, smiling Vajnath, everyone gave their blessings, giving their blessings. When, after a short time, they left, going south to return to Godruma. The saintly elderly Babaji noticed that tears were streaming from Vajnath's eyes. Saintly Raghunath Das Babaji had by this time developed strong affection for Vajnath. He asked Vajnath, Baba, why are you weeping? Vajnath humbly replied, O Master, your teaching and association have brought up an appeal in my thoughts. Now my heart understands how worthless this material world is. My heart yearns to take shelter of Lord Gaura's feet. In my mind there is one question. So now, after hearing the rasa vichar, automatically this question comes. What is that? Who am I? Why I do live in this stupid world? Isn't it? I was just yesterday thinking about for us, our rasa is, you know, Krishna Prasadam Association of Devotees. Once you come to ISKCON, what do you feel? After having this Prasadam Association of Devotees, seeing so wonderful, what I am doing in this world? I should be here, isn't it? So it is actually the rasa which makes a person give up this material world. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Paramdrishya, what is that verse? Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Until unless there is experience of a higher taste, there is no question of giving up lower taste. So when you find higher taste, naturally this comes, what am I doing in this world, stupid world? So that is what I ask, who am I? Why am I living in this world? Isn't it? Now, Baba says, good, with this question you have made me very fortunate. That means he already preached. Preaching is over now. When somebody asks this question, why am I here? Can I join? Can I be with you or something like that? Your preaching is successful. You made me fortunate. When this auspicious day comes, a soul places his question before all others. This is auspicious day when somebody asks this question. When you hear the fifth verse of Dashamul and its explanation, doubts will no longer live in your heart. Sullingadriddhagnerivachidamaro said anvo jiva nichaya harer suryasya eva pratagapitu tadbheda vishaya vashemaya yasya prakritipater yevasyariha sajivo muktopi prakritivasha yoga svagunataha. As sparks fly from a blazing fire or rays of light from the sun. So the individual spirit soul comes from the Supreme Personality of God, Lord Hari, as the sparks and the rays are at once different, non-different from the source. So the individual souls are different and non-different from Lord Hari. Lord Hari is the supreme controller. He is the master of the material world. The illusory potency, Maya, is under his control. The living individual soul is not like him. Even when he is liberated, the soul is capable of coming under the control of Maya. Note it. Sajivo muktopi. Sajivo muktopi. Even though he is liberated, prakriti vasha yogaha swa gunataha. So nature of the conditioned soul is always, any time he can come under the control of Maya. It's a very important point. So now goes further. Oh, that is wonderful conclusion. Over. One verse is enough. So this conclusion is given in the Bhagavad Gita, but I wish to hear the evidence from the Vedas. This wonderful conclusion, I wish to hear evidence from the Vedas, give for it. The words of Supreme Lord Bhagavad Gita are worthy evidence by themselves. However, when they are supported by words of Upanishads, they are more easily accepted by people in general. So that's like for ISKCON devotees, it is not, doesn't make much. If you quote from the Upanishads, then Bhagavad Gita is quoted, that's enough. But people in general means he's talking about the Vedic scholars. So if you quote just Bhagavad Gita, they would not accept. You have to quote from Upanishads, you should go from the Dharma Shastras, etc., etc. Until unless you quote from these scriptures, which are directly Vedic means from the Shruti, it is very difficult for people to accept, especially scholars. That is why you find in Prabhupada's commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, even in Bhagavatam also, Srila Prabhupada quotes many verses from the Upanishads. And the Sripada Ramanujacharya system to establish any conclusion based on Shruti, Smriti, Shruti and Smriti. And if at all there is something available from the Dharma Shastras, he would also quote from there. And also from the Nyaya, means any Acharyas, and they are quoted and established. So if more quotations, the more stronger is your case, your proposition. So that is what is people accept in general if you quote from Vedas. These truths are revealed in many passages of the Vedas. I will recite one or two of them. Please listen carefully. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it is said, Yathagne kshudra vispullinga vyucharamtya evam evasmat atmanah sarvani bhutani vyucharanti. A tiny spark flies from a fire, so all the individual souls have come from the Supreme. Tasya va etasya purushasya dve eva sthane bhavat idam cha paralokasthanam cha sandhyam tritiyam svapnasthanam tasmin sandhye sthanam tishtam yete ubhe sthanam pashyati pashyatidam paralokastham cha paralokasthanam cha. Now this says that there are two places, actually three places it talks about. One is spiritual world, and other is a place where the spiritual world meets the material world. That is, sandhya means a place, meets. And the third place is the material world, or the place of dreams. Standing between them, the soul sees one side spiritual world, other side the dreaming world. It means the soul is in the middle of the spiritual world and the material world. So in the middle means that is tata, tatastha. This passage describes the individual soul, jiva shakti, which can decide in either spiritual or material worlds, tatastha. Brihadaranyakam Upanishad also explained, tad yata mahamatas ubhe kule kulenu sacharati purvam chaparam chaiva yevayam purusha eva ubhya antva anu sancharati svapnantam cha yuddhantam cha. As a large fish in a river may go to one shore or the other, so a person may go to one world or the other. He may go to the world where he is awake, or he may go to the world where he is dreaming. So the living entity has the tendency to go to the material world or to the spiritual world. Now, then Veda quotations from the Upanishads have come. And what does Vedanta philosophy talk about the word tatastha? Now, he's asking from the Vedanta point of view. The place where a river water meets with the land of the shore is called tata. The tat is then the place where water meets the land. What is the measure of this tata? It is like a thinnest of threads that runs along the boundary of the land and water. A tata is like a finest of lines, so small that gross material eyes cannot even see that. In this example, the spiritual world is like water, the material world is like the land. The thin line that separates them is the tata. That boundary place is the abode of the individual spirit soul. The living spirit souls are like atomic particles of sunlight. The souls can see both spiritual world and material world created by Maya. The Lord's spiritual potency, Chit Shakti, is limitless. And Lord's material potency, Maya Shakti, is gigantic. Standing between them, the living entity is very tiny. The individual spirit souls are manifest from Tatastha Shakti of the Lord, of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the souls are naturally situated in the boundary, Tatastha, of matter and spirit. So the word Tatastha has been explained. You have water, which is compared to the spiritual world, land, which is compared to the material world, and the boundary between the water and the land, that is called tatastha, that is where the jiva shakti is there. What is this tatastha nature of this individual soul? Standing between them, the soul can see two worlds. The tatastha nature of the soul refers to the fact that they must be under control of one of the two potencies. The actual place of tata, shore, may change. What was once dry land may be covered by water, and what was once covered by water may become dry land. If he turns his gaze upon Lord Krishna, the soul comes under the shelter of Krishna's spiritual potency. If the soul turns away from Krishna and turns his gaze towards material Maya, then the soul is caught up by Maya's trap. That is what is meant by soul's tatastha nature. Now, does Maya have anything to do with the nature of the spirit soul? Now, no. The spirit souls are completely spiritual. However, because they are atomic in size, the souls are not very strong. That is why Maya can dominate them. However, in soul's nature, there is not the slightest scent of Maya. So you have in Bhagavatam, Vyasa strands described. Bhakti yoga manasi samyak praniti amale apashyat purusham purnam mayam chadabhashrayam. Next verse, yayasam mohito jiva Atmanam Trigunatpakam Paropivanute Nartham Tatkritam Chapipadhyate. Very important verse. Vyasa saw Krishna and of course internal potency, everything, and also saw Maya. And then he saw, what did he see? The soul. Yaya sammohito jiva. The bewildered soul. Atmanam trigunatmakam. When he is bewildered by these modes of nature, what happens? Paropi. Paropi means what? Though he is transcendental to the modes of nature, though he is spiritual, what he accepts himself as? Paropi manute. He accepts. He thinks that is a product of matter. Paropi manute chartam anartam tat kritam chapipadyate. That is described here. So I have heard from my teacher that when it is surrounded by Maya, the impersonal Brahman becomes the individual spirit soul. When a small portion of the great sky is surrounded by the walls of clay pot, it becomes a sky within a pot. In the same, when the impersonal Brahman is surrounded by Maya, it becomes individual soul. What does it mean? So many misconceptions of the souls are being raised here. So we know that this is known as Parichedavad. So there is Parichedavad, Pratibimbavad, many kinds of vadas. But this Parichedavad is, they give the example of pot. Fatakash, Ghatakash. Ghatakash, Fatakash, what is that? What do you say? Something like that. Chidakash. Or something like that, Fatakash. The Parichedavad. Parichedavad means the Brahman is cleavable. Prabhupada uses the word cleavable. Isn't it? In the second chapter, he uses cleavable. So it means paricheda means it's cleaved. It's fragmental, fragmented. So then Babaji Maharaj says, no, that is just impersonalism, Mayavad. How can Maya have power to touch the Supreme Brahman? If you say that Brahman has no potency, then how can Maya even approach Brahman? Maya potency has no independent power. How can she has effect on Brahman? It cannot be said that great Brahman becomes covered by Maya and he is then forced to suffer in different ways. That is not possible. If Brahman's spiritual potency is always awake and vigilant, how can the insignificant Maya Shakti defeat her and possess to create the individual souls from Brahman in this way? The Supreme Brahman is limitless and immeasurable. How can limitless Brahman be broken into smaller souls? In the same way, the great sky is broken into little skies within the series of clay plots. The idea that Maya can have some effect on Brahman cannot be accepted. Maya has nothing to do with the creation of individual spirit souls. Although they are atomic in size, the individual spirit souls are superior to Maya. So the souls are always superior to Maya. But why they come out as Maya? Because of the foolishness of the soul. That will be explained later. Now another time, he says, another teacher says, said that individual souls are reflection of Brahman. This is another, what is it called? Pratibimbavad. When we discussed in the Bhakti Shastri, we had long discussion about it. In Prabhupada, in the second chapter, he talks about, even if you accept the theory of reflection, what is the theory of reflection? It's Pratibimbavad. According to them, none of the Brahman, he is just, is reflecting. Reflecting on, like water. Now in the ocean, the sun reflects. What will happen? You will find, because of the waves, the sun is moving, doing all kinds of things. But actually, sun is as it is. It is only just a reflection. Now, the souls are also just reflection. So, this is also impersonalism. Brahman has no limits. Something that is unlimited cannot be reflected anywhere. Even if you say it is reflected on itself. It is so foolish to say that. There is something other than Brahman to reflect. The Vedas do not teach this Brahman is limited. This reflection theory should be rejected. Now another time a Digvijay sannyasi said that the living spirit soul does not really exist. The idea of the individual soul is only illusion. When the illusion is thrown far away, only the undivided Brahman remains. What does this mean? This is also impersonalism. So this is actually the soul doesn't exist at all. It is unreal. The soul is unreal. That is what is their philosophy. They are mostly akin to Buddhistic people. Buddhists, actually they say soul. But for them, soul, they say soul, 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 but actually they are thinking it is the impressions of the mind, they consider it to be soul. So this is impersonalism. The idea has no root in truth. In Chandogya, when he said, Ekameva dvitiyam Brahma, Brahma is, Brahman is no, is one without a second. Do these words, the Vedas, mean that only Brahman and nothing else exists? If nothing but Brahman exists, then from where has illusion come from? Who does this illusion bewilder? If you say that this illusion bewilders Brahman, then you make Brahman a pathetic being. If you say the illusion bewilders something other than Brahman, then you contradict the idea of Brahman exists alone. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur refutes this theory also. Now another question is, another time a Brahmana Pandit of Navadvip said that only the individual spirit souls exist in a dream, he experienced mental happiness and suffering. When he wakes up from the dream, he discovers that he is Brahman. What does this mean? This is all impersonalism. Brahman has a dream and becomes individual soul. What proof do they have for that? The scriptures give the example of mistaking the glittering of the seashell surface for silver and mistaking a rope for a snake. But these examples do not prove impersonalistic idea that Brahman alone exists. These words are only a great network of word jugglery meant to bewilder people in general. Of course, there are so many examples like this. If you go to, that is, if you want, if you study Mayavad, then you will get all these kinds of examples how the Vaishnavas are refuted. Those who are interested in trying to know about this, you can buy the book called Mayavada Shatadushani, originally written by Madhvacharya and translated by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. It's available. But many devotees know it as Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's writing. But Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he just took those things from Madhvacharya's writings. Even somebody from the Madhvacharya says that one of the disciples of Madhvacharya wrote it, and Madhvacharya was very much pleased with this thing. Shatadoshni, 100. 100 things about Mayavad. Very interesting. If you get that book, sometimes you can read that. There, all these things are smashed. The individual soul is not created by Maya. That I accept. Maya has the power to dominate the individual soul. That I understand. That is my question. Does the spiritual potency, Chit Shakti, place the individual soul on the border, Tatastha, of matter and spirit? Now, another question is it that the spiritual potency places the individual soul on the border, Tatastha, Shakti, matter and spirit? Is it that is what is happening? Chit Shakti and Jiva Shakti are connected? No, no, no. The Chit Shakti is full manifestation of Krishna's potency. Whatever she creates is eternally perfect, Nitya Siddha. The individual living spirit are only eternally perfect, or not eternally perfect. By engaging in the activities of devotional service, sadhana, they may become perfect, sadhana siddha, and thus enjoy spiritual bliss exactly like that enjoyed by the eternally perfect Nitya Siddha beings. The four kinds of gopi friends of Radharani are eternally perfect living Nitya Siddhas. That we have discussed before. These four kinds of, you know, Ashtasakis, and we have, you know, Pranasakhi, Paramapreshasakis, like that. They are manifested from the form of Srimati Radharani, who is Chit Shakti herself. All the individual spirit souls are manifested from Lord Krishna's Jiva Shakti. The Chit Shakti is Lord Krishna's complete potency, Purna Shakti. The individual souls, Jiva Shakti, are counted among Lord Krishna's incomplete potencies, Apurna Shakti. From the complete potency, complete and perfect things are manifested. From the incomplete potency, all the individual souls who are atomic fragments of consciousness are manifested. Lord Krishna manifests different kinds of entities according to different kinds of potencies he employs to create them. When he is manifested in his Chit Shakti, he appears as Krishna and Narayana, the master of Vaikuntha. When he is manifested in the Jiva Shakti, he appears as Baladeva. The pastime form for Vilasa Murti in Braja. When he is manifested in Maya Shakti, he appears in three forms of Karanodakshi Vishnu, Garbhodakshi Vishnu, Shivodakshi Vishnu. In Braja, he appears in original form as Krishna, a form manifested by the complete potency. Appearing as Baladeva, he manifests his Shesha Tattva, nature of Lord Shesha. In this way, he manifests eight kinds of services that we all know about Baladeva. Eight kinds of services, like, you know, the bed, the umbrella, the shoes, and all kinds of things. Again, Vaikuntha appears as Shesh Sankarsana and manifests eight kinds of service his eternal associates offer to Lord Narayana. Lord Sankarsana incarnates as Mahavishnu. He becomes the resting place of all the Jiva Shakti and appears as super soul in the heart of all individual souls residing in the material world. All these individual souls are attracted by Maya. As long as they do not attain the mercy of the Supreme Lord and take shelter of the Lord's spiritual Haladini Shakti, they are defeated by Maya. Numberless souls are defeated by Maya and cast into a prison. They are all followers of Maya's three modes. The conclusion is that the individual soul are manifested by Jiva Shakti. They are not manifested by Chit Shakti. So, the essential principle behind the entire paragraph is you have some who are called Nitya Siddha. Nitya Siddha. And these Nitya Siddha, they are never bound by this material nature. These Nitya Siddhas, they are manifested by the Chit potency of Krishna. Radharani herself expands into these things. But the conditioned souls, they are manifested by the Jiva Shakti. Now these Jiva Shakti are the living entities, they are manifested by Jiva Shakti. So they are having the tendency to be covered by Maya. But those souls, they are also like souls, you may say, but actually they are not manifested by Jiva Shakti. They are manifested by the Chit Shakti. They never come under the control, like Arjuna. He's a parshada of Krishna. You can tell them as parshada. He would never come under the influence of the modes of nature. He acted as if he is under the modes of nature by the will of Krishna. But he would never ever fall in the modes of nature. Whenever Krishna comes, Arjuna goes along with him. So, in this way, they are of two different categories. That is what is the essential point in this particular section. Vrajanath asked, I heard that the spiritual world is eternal and individual spirit souls are also eternal. How is it possible for eternal things to be born, created or manifested? If there is a time when they were not manifested and they only appear at a certain period of time, how can they be eternal? So we all talk about this manifestation, this came and that amount of time. Yesterday we were discussing a little bit before this point. The answer is given here. Now, when we speak of, okay, long, long time back, when the concept of time starts from the concept of creation, isn't it? Before creation, there was no existence of time. So, time starts in the time of creation, after creation. So, Babaji Maharaj says, the time and space present in the spiritual world is different from the time and space you experience now in the material world. In the material world, time has three phases, past, present and future. In the spiritual world, time is not broken in that way. There, time is an eternal present. In the spiritual world, things do not come into being. Everything exists in eternal present. When we who living in this world of material time and space try to describe spiritual world, what will happen? When you try to do that, the problem comes. When we who are living in the material time and space try to discuss spiritual world, we tend to say things like the individual souls were created, the individual souls were imprisoned by Maya, the spiritual world was manifested, the individual souls are spiritual and not created by Maya. When we talk in these ways, we certainly show how much we are influenced by staying in this material world, material time. As long as we stay in Maya's prison, we cannot avoid talking in this way. That is why when we describe the individual souls or the nature of spirit, we cannot avoid speaking in terms of material time. Therefore, we tend to speak in terms of past and future. Therefore, a person who tries to understand the spiritual world properly tries to speak in terms of an eternal present. Baba, logic cannot help us understand these things. Here, logic should be rejected. When you will be able to see the nature of spirit, when he forgets that he is eternally servant of Krishna, the individual soul enters Maya prison. Originally, all souls are Vaishnavas. However, become two groups. Nityabaddha, eternally present by Maya. Nityamukta, eternally liberated. A human being, bewildered by the matter, cannot describe these things. Still, a saintly devotee can attain the spiritual vision to see the spiritual truths directly. My words are inevitably influenced by matter. I'll describe these things as far as I am able. My words will inevitably be imperfect. Baba, you will be able to see pure spiritual truth. However, logic will not help you. Why will logic not help? Because logic is useless in grasping what is beyond mind's understanding. I know you will not be able to understand this at once. Still, the more you follow the spiritual path, the more you will be able to see the difference between matter and spirit. The body is material, all the bodily actions are material, but the truth is that you yourself are not material. You are a tiny particle of conscious spirit. The more you understand the truth, the more you will be able to perceive your own identity and the truth that you are superior to the material world. You will not understand this merely by hearing me tell you about this. As you follow the path of regular chanting the holy names of Lord Hari, these spiritual truths will gradually, spontaneously appear before you. Then you will understand the spiritual world. As long as the mind and the words are influenced by matter, one will not be able to touch the spiritual truth. The Vedas, Taittiriya Upanishad, explain this. Yato vacho nivartante apa aprapya manasasaha. The descriptive power of speech fails in the realm of absolute truth, and the speculative power of the mind cannot achieve him. My advice to you is, don't ask anyone what they think these conclusions. Experience them yourself. I can only give you a hint about them. Bhagavad Gita Krishna talks about this, isn't it? Ascharyavat paschati kaschidenam ascharyavat vadati tat anyaha vascharyavat sutvapyenam vedata chivakashir. Some people ascharyavat paschati kaschidenam. Some people see it as amazing. Some people hear about it as amazing. Shrutvapyenam, even though they hear a lot about it, Vedana Chivikaschit. It's a very interesting verse where Krishna says, even though you talk so much about the soul, it is always an amazing thing. It's very amazing. But one who understands the soul is amazing from the mouth of a spiritual master, he can understand. Otherwise, if he tries to understand, he will be always amazed. Shrutvapi enam, even though he goes on hearing, Vedana Chivakasya, he will never understand. But if he understands, it's an amazing subject matter, and he goes on hearing from the spiritual master, and then goes on performing sadhana, then he will understand it. That is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about it. It's actually, see, the time. When you say time, it starts from creation. So beyond the creation, there is spiritual world and spiritual time. When we say, at once upon a time, we are referring to this period only. The discussion goes like this. There is a big talk about this. What is the meaning of Nitya Baddha? Eternally conditioned. And Srila Prabhupada translates this word Nitya Baddha as what? Anybody knows? Conditioned from time immemorial. He uses the word immemorial. What is the meaning of immemorial? Number one, you don't know how long. And it is so long. And not only that, it is beyond time. It is before time started. So because of these three points, the word Nitya has been used. Otherwise, it is not that we are just in this material world eternally. The word eternally has to be understood in terms of what? Immemorial. Not in the word eternally doesn't have beginning. So not everything which eternity here refers to, Nitya refers to unknown time. That is the reason the time immemorial has been used there. Okay. So Vajranath. I say this, if the individual souls are like sparks from the blazing fire or atomic principles of sunlight, then what is the function of Jiva Shakti potency? What is the function? How If individual souls are like the spark from the blazing fire, or the sunlight coming from Krishna, then what is the Jiva Shakti? What is it doing? Krishna is self-effulgent, like a blazing fire or the sun. Krishna is like a blazing fire. In the center of the fire is a Chit Shakti, is present in fullness. In addition to the center, there are also a great expanse of illuminated by fire. The same way the Krishna sun illuminates a great area with sunlight, the rays of sunlight are particles of his internal potency, Swarup Shakti. Those atomic particles that constitute those rays of sunlight are the individual spirit souls. The atomic particles that constitute the rays of the sunlight are the spirit souls. The internal potency, Swarup Shakti, manifests Krishna's sun itself. The sunlight emanating from the planet is manifested by the Chit Shakti, and the individual particles of sun of light are manifested by Jiva Shakti. Therefore, the individual spirit souls are manifested by Jiva Shakti. This is described in the following words of the Sahasra Upanishad. Parasya Shakti Vividheva Shuvete. Lord's spiritual potency is manifested in different ways. In this way, Lord's spiritual potency manifests the Jiva Shakti sunlight, which shines on the borderline, tata, of the spiritual material world. In this way, the eternal individual souls are manifested. Now it is very clear. The individual spirit souls are manifested by Jiva Shakti. When Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mame Eiva Amshaha, what does it mean? Mama Eiva Amshaha. We are part and parcel of Krishna? No. We are part and parcel of the Jiva Shakti of Krishna. So we are Shakti. We are not part and parcel directly of Krishna. We are Krishna manifests Jiva Shakti. From Jiva Shakti, Jivas are manifest. A blazing fire is material. The sun is material and sparks are material. Why are material examples used to describe spiritual truth? Isn't it? Then he gives a long description. He says, I have already explained that when we try to use material words to describe spiritual things, that fault of matter tends to slip into the description. Something spiritual cannot be explained by material examples. The fault of material examples will go there. In this situation, we have no choice but to use examples like fire and sun. In truth, Lord Krishna is much greater than the sun. Now you say, Krishna's eyes are like lotus petals. It's something more than that. But that is what you can think of. Isn't it? That is what you can think, what you can do about it. Lord Krishna's circle of spiritual potency is much greater than the circle of sunlight. Lord Krishna's effulgence is much greater than the sunlight. In this case, certain features that may be similar are considered. But in other ways, two things being compared are not at all like. The sun and the sunlight are beautiful and glorious. Spiritual truth is also beautiful and glorious. However, the sun is material and so it burns things ash to ashes and has many other qualities so. These qualities are absent in spiritual truth. When we say that milk is like water, that means water and milk both are liquid. We do not mean that milk and water are identical in all aspects. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking pure logic. In logic, there are certain things called upamana, upameya, examples, udaharana. When you give an example, you're presenting certain things. You are not just saying both are identical. If that were so, why should we designate our one thing as milk and the other thing as water? Therefore, when we use an example to describe something, remember, when we use an example to describe something, that example shows a similarity in only one point. The two things compared are not alike in everything. So many of the devotees, when they try to argue, a devotee gives an example. The devotee takes the same example and says, oh, you mean to say that also? So examples are given to make us understand a particular thing. That is why upamana, upameya, they are not considered to be pramana. One of the reasons, examples are not proof. Examples are only given to make a person understand better, that's all. So this particular kind of thing is discussed a lot in Nyaya philosophy. You have six systems of philosophy. In that Nyaya, it goes to a very great extent of trying to analyze an example. Because for them, logic is the proof, and for logic they use a lot of examples. And they dissect and intersect so much and then see whether the example is bona fide or is proper or not. So here in our Vaishnava philosophy, we use examples. But we don't take that examples as seriously as the proof itself. These examples are only aid for us to understand certain concepts which are beyond our mental thoughts. Or we become beyond our mind, achintya. Then Vajana says, the individual soul, sunlight, is simultaneously one and different from Krishna. How is it possible? How is it possible? Material world, when one thing is manifest from other, the thing manifest is either different from or identical with its source. That is the nature of material thing. When an egg comes from a bird, the egg and the bird are distinct. The egg does not remain as a part of the bird as long as they are not cut off. The hair and the nail of the human body remains part of it. In the world of spirit, the situation is different. When they are emanated from the spiritual sun, the rays of spiritual sunlight remain simultaneously one and different from the source. The rays of light and atomic particles of which those rays are constituted are not different from the sun, that is their origin. In the same way, the sunlight of the Jiva Shakti and the atomic particles of which the sunlight is composed, which particles are the individual spirit souls, are not different from the sun, Krishna sun. That is their origin. In this way, the individual spirit soul are not different from Lord Krishna. However, the individual souls are all individual persons, and each of them has free will. In this way, they are each eternally different from Krishna. In this way, the individual souls are simultaneously one and different from Krishna. This is so eternally. In this way, the nature of spirit is different from matter. The Pandit has also given another example from the material world. It is this. There is a large lump of gold. From that lump, a bracelet is fashioned. Because it is gold, the bracelet is not different from the gold lump. Because it is bracelet, it is different from the lump of gold. The example here does not hold in all its details, but in one point it holds. The Krishna sun and the individual soul sunlight are one in the sense that they are both spirit, but they are different in the sense that one is complete spirit, and there is tiny spirit, tiny particle of spirit. The impersonal example of sky within the clay pot and the great sky expanded everywhere does not properly explain the spiritual truth. It is a wonder that how Srila Prabhupada, he solved the entire confusion with one small phrase. Since the advent of the English language, nobody had used this phrase, part and parcel. Part and parcel. The living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. Part means what? They are part. At the same time, they are parcel. Complete unit itself. Like you remove a part from a motorbike, then the motorbike is also useless, the part is also useless. But here, though we are part of Krishna, though we are away from Krishna, Krishna is as it is. And we are parcel in itself, living in this parcel. So this part and parcel is like a very amazing terminology. There are certain words in English used by Prabhupada, like very, very, very interesting. Infinitesimal, part and parcel, material, nature. they are like typical Prabhupada terminology. And to such an extent that many of the philosophers these days who are writing books, even Shivaishnavas, even Madhvas, they started using these terms. I sometimes go to their websites to see something about what they speak about this. I find most of the writings these days written by their acharyas and the scholars, they have started using Prabhupada terminologies now. Supreme Personality of Godhead. I was listening to one lecture by Sri Vaishnava on in YouTube. He said the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. and the designs of material existence. He is using these words. He is clearly using them. Velukudi, Velukudi Krishna. Now he is using these words. Because there is no way you can present absolute truth in this language. Other than the way Prabhupada presented. Very, very difficult. Anyhow. Yeah, part. We are parts of Krishna, but at the same time we are individual parcels. Like Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, what is that verse? Natve vaham jatu nasam neme janadipa. Nacheivana bhavishyamaha sarve. The entire verse speaks about what? Forgot the verse. In Bhakti Shastri, I taught. The whole purpose of the verse is what? To establish the individuality of the soul. The soul is individual, though it is part of Krishna's. So simultaneously one and different from Krishna. Okay. Prajnath, if spirit and matter are different, then why are these examples used? Babaji says, the Nyaya philosophers like to divide the components of material world into various categories. And then claim that these divisions are eternal. Matter and spirit are not really different from each other in that way. As I said before, matter is merely a perverted manifestation of spirit. The perverted manifestation, the perverted manifestation and the original pure form from which it has come may share many similar features. The perverted manifestation is certainly different from the original pure form. But still the two share the same similarities. Ice is a perverted reflection of water. Ice is different from water. Still water and ice both be cold and may share same qualities. So there may be differences. Cold and hot water do not share the qualities of coldness. However, they do share the quality of liquidity. Therefore, a perverted manifestation may have, say, many qualities like those present in the pure manifestation that is its origin. Because matter is perverted manifestation of spirit, spirit and matter do have similar qualities. The similar qualities may provide material examples to describe spiritual things. Here the example of Arundhati Darshana Nyaya. It's a very important Nyaya, one of the logics which are used. Showing the proposition of Arundhati star in the sky by using an object on the earth as a point of reference. In this way, one may say, if you look between the two branches of the tree, the star is shining in the sky, that is Arundhati. Suppose somebody asks, where is Arundhati Nakshatra? Behind the tree. But it is behind the tree or what? No. In this way, examples drawn from material things can be used to relevant spiritual truth. Lord Krishna's pastimes are perfectly spiritual. They are not the slightest scent of matter. Lord Krishna's Vraja pastimes in Vraja, which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam, are perfectly spiritual, not material. When they are read to a circle of human hearers, they produce different results according to the qualification of different people hearing them. When people very attracted to the matter hear these pastimes, they enjoy the material poetic language. And as far as they are concerned, they think they are hearing descriptions of an ordinary romantic couple. People of intermediate qualification think in terms of Arundhati Darshanyaya. They think these pastimes are examples drawn from material world to reveal spiritual truths. persons who are most qualified know that these pastimes are spiritual activities far beyond the realm of matter. These persons dive into an ocean of nectar, happiness, to hear these pastimes. Without speaking examples like this, how can one teach the people about spiritual truth? The material mind and material words are defeated when they try to describe these things. How will the souls impressed in the material world attain an auspicious life? We do not see any way other than speaking examples, like the example of Anandridrashanyaya. Material things are either one or different. Spiritual things are not like that. Lord Krishna, his Jiva Shakti potency, and the individual spirit souls manifested from the potency are all inconceivable. You should accept they are simultaneously one and different. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, essentially he puts out this very important point. The argument is, if matter and spirit are totally different, why are you giving some material example to explain spirit? Now, where is this matter coming from? Spirit only, isn't it? So, by giving some material example, spiritual things can be explained, and there is no other way for that. So, in one sense, seeing matter from a proper perspective is the beginning of all spiritual knowledge. This is a very important subject in the Bhagavad Gita, especially after in the 7th chapter, the 9th chapter, and 10th chapter, and 11th chapter. Krishna starts describing about matter in the 7th chapter. Bhumirapovanalo vayur kammano buddhirevacha. So that he says, balam balavatam chaham kamarag vivarjitam. He says, I am the strength among the strong. And he talks about many things in the 7th chapter. And then in the 9th chapter, he talks about how this world, perceiving this world, gives an idea of who is. And in the 10th chapter, he gives a very elaborate description. Even though Krishna is not present in front of me, in front of us, how to perceive Krishna seeing matter? At that time, if you remember, I had given an example. I taught the 10th chapter, isn't it to you? 10th or 11th, both? 10th and 11th. At that time, I had given the example, if you remember. So, perceiving energies of Krishna, you can understand who is Krishna. So, whole of the 10th chapter is nothing but a description of the energies of Krishna. And the whole of the 11th chapter is the visuals of the energies of Krishna. If you remember that example which I gave, when a scientist came in front of Tirupati Balaji, physicist, what did he say to a devotee who took him there? I find tremendous energy here. He's standing in front of Balaji and saying, I find tremendous energy here. When Prabhupada was taken to Niagara Falls, what did Prabhupada say? What an energy Krishna has. So, when a materialistic person was brought in front of Krishna, he saw energy. When a devotee was taken to the energy of Krishna, he saw Krishna. Isn't it? He saw Krishna. So, that is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur is actually telling. Because here the question was, if matter and spirit are two distinct things, different things, why are you giving some material examples to explain spiritual things? Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, though we find matter is distinct from spirit, but matter is manifestation of spirit. So there is oneness too. So when examples are given, you should understand the thread of oneness. So through the thread of oneness, we can explain. Like beauty. Why, you know, material world has some beauty, tell me? Because Krishna manifested it. Anything. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam shri mat urjitam eva va. Whatever you see in this world, something wonderful and beautiful, it is there. Why? Because Krishna manifested it. You taste mango. It is so wonderful. Nice, wonderful. A devotee knows it is just because it is Krishna's energy. So Krishna is as sweet as a mango. Or something like that. Somebody eats a rasgulla and says, "Wah, wah, Krishna." So, explaining spirituality or spiritual things with the help of some material examples, though in one sense is inadequate, there is no other way. And also, one more point to it is that there is also oneness and difference. Though its difference is that oneness helps us to understand Krishna. That is only thread. How otherwise, if Krishna had created this world and no connection, how are we going to understand him? So that's the whole purpose behind his entire purport. Now, Vrajanath. In what ways are the individual spirit souls in the Supreme Personality of Godhead different? Now, oneness has been explained. Different. He says, first I'll explain how individual souls, Supreme Personality, are eternally one. After that, I'll explain how they are eternally different. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is like certain list is given. It's consciousness, knower, enjoyer, thinker, self-manifest, visible to others, knower the feels, and he desires. 8 things are given. The individual soul is also conscious, knower, enjoyer, thinker, self-manifest, visible to others, knower the feel, is also having desires. Both. So the Supreme Lord also has these things. Divinity also has this thing. But he is also the knower of the fame. Because he is the master of all potencies, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has these qualities to the highest degree. On the other hand, the individual spirit soul possessing only very slight power has these qualities to the very slight degree. So we know this. We have quantitative difference. In what are the aspects the quantitative difference is there? These are the aspects. You can note these 8 aspects. On the other hand, the individual spirit soul possessing only very slight power has these qualities in very slight degree. Although they are different in the sense that one is perfect and complete, other is very small and atomic, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and individual spirit souls are alike in that they both possess these qualities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is master of all potencies. He is the controller of Swarup Shakti, Jiva Shakti, Maya Shakti. These potencies are all his obedient servants. He is their master. Whatever he wishes, they do. That is the nature of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual spirit soul has a very tiny drop of these qualities. He is subordinate to all the other potencies. So in this way, there is oneness and difference been very nicely described. The oneness is the qualities are listed. And difference is also, Lord is the controller of the potencies, where the Jiva is controlled by the potencies. Rajanath, if they are eternally different, then how are they non-different? Should we accept the idea that when he attains Nirvana, the soul becomes one with the Supreme Lord? Now here doubt comes. Okay, if they are eternally different from each other, then that means there is oneness also. Is that oneness the oneness which the Mayavadis are thinking? Be very careful here. Just hold. The question asked by Vrajanath is, now, the Madhvas, they say Dvaita, they are different. But the scriptures are also saying they are one. And you are also saying they are one. But is that oneness spoken by you? The oneness is spoken by the Mayavadis? Are both the oneness same? So that is the question here. Now, Mayavadis also accept this point. The distinction is there now. After liberation, what happens? Both become one. So we are talking the same philosophy. Achintya, Bheda, and then Abheda. So this Achintya, Bheda, Abheda, it is not that now Bheda, later Abheda. This Achintya Bheda Bheda is eternally existing. Is the nature of the soul. It is Bheda is not accrued. Abheda is not after liberation. So just see, a mind of a person can go anywhere. So all these doubts are cleared. So just don't think that by speaking, we achintya bheda bheda tattva, that you have conquered the mayavadi. Mayavadi is shake hands with you and say, thank you very much, this is what we are saying. Isn't it? So Babaji says, it is not like that. At no time does the individual soul becomes non-different from the Supreme. At no time becomes non-different from the Supreme. Then, why do they say that the soul is simultaneously one and different from the Lord? Then Babaji says, in the sense that they are both spiritual in nature. Lord Krishna and the individual souls are eternally non-different. Otherwise, their natures are eternally different. Their oneness is eternal. And their difference is also eternal. This oneness does not refer to other qualities of their nature. In other qualities, their difference is more prominent. Therefore, if one says that a house is simultaneously the property of Devadatta, and without Devadatta's presence, that then even though Devadatta may be absent, the idea that it remains his property is more important in two ideas. Like sometimes you say Devadatta is in the house. And then you may say Devadatta is not in the house. Whether he is in the house, whether he is not in the house, the point is, the house, the owner of the house is Devadatta. So the point is not whether he is in the house or not in the house. The point is what? That is his property. In the same way, now I will give another material example. The sky is a material thing. If some portion of the sky is contained within the clay pot, the existence of the great sky outside the pot remains more important than the sky within the pot. Now, here the last point. In the same way, the eternal difference between the Supreme Lord and the living spirit soul is more important than their oneness. Because the kind of the Mayavadis, one of the group of Mayavadis, they say, whatever distinctions are you are seeing, that is very much true, but only in the conditioned state. Once you are liberated, become one. So, your philosophy of Dvaita, Advaita, or Bheda and Abheda, we accept it. That is what we are saying. Because they are thinking that this Bheda, Abheda, simultaneous oneness and difference, they don't accept as an eternal fact. So, to clear that point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur clearly says, the eternal, the living entity is eternally one and distinct from the Lord. And because the living entity is individual, the distinction is more important than the oneness. Distinction is more important than the oneness. Now that is where the four sampradaya seminars, that is more elaborately described. Why we have to speak about the oneness when Madhva has established Dvaita? The reason is this thing. If you don't establish that oneness, then it is very difficult to establish that Krishna is a source of all living entities. So Madhvas have a big problem, big ontological or philosophical problem they have. That is, how are they going to explain the origin of the living entities? And how are they going to explain how the living entities are bound in this world? There's a big difficulties. When somebody asks at Madhva, what this? Madhva said it's Leela. Leela. It's Leela. Leela means? There's no answer. No, don't ask this. When you say Leela, it means there's no answer for it. So they have a big problem. So that will be discussed in that seminar more elaborately, because here we are doing a particular thread. That is why I'm just pointing about this. This thing. So the essential point is the last line. In the same way, the eternal difference between the Supreme Lord and the living individual soul is more important than the oneness. Okay, go further. Please describe the soul's eternal nature more clearly. Now, the individual spirit soul is an atomic fragment of consciousness. He has knowledge, he has ego or sense of self. And he calls himself by the word I. He is an enjoyer, thinker, knower. The soul has an eternal form. The form is spiritual and subtle. The form has hands, feet, eyes, nose, ears, and other limbs. All handsome, graceful features. Graceful and superficial like the limbs of an ordinary material body. The body is made up of spiritual atom. It is very handsome. It is spiritual. These are all descriptions of the pure soul, the qua soul in the spiritual world as it is. There is eternal form for the individual spirit soul. When the soul is imprisoned by Maya, the soul's original spiritual body is covered by two material bodies. One body is known as Linga Sharira, subtle body. Another is known as Stula Sharira. We are very expert in this. Cross body, subtle body. In our courses in Bhagavad Gita, they say about this. The subtle body, Linga Sharira, covers atomic spirit form of the individual spirit soul. From the time of the soul is first imprisoned in the material world until the time he is released, the Linga Sharira cannot be removed. This, we know the subtle body, it goes on from one body to another body till the time of liberation. When the soul takes birth in another body, he enters the Stula Sharira. He does not enter a different Linga Sharira. He keeps the same Linga Sharira. Linga Sharira means his subtle body. Linga Sharira is one. On other hand, the soul periodically leaves one Stula Sharira and impelled by the material designs acts on another Stula Sharira. Thus, following the path of five fires described in the Vedas, the soul attains a new Stula Sharira. These five fires, beginning with Chitagni, Vrishyagni, Bhojanagni, Ritog, Havanagni, described, the Vedas describe about these Agnis. How, when the transfer happens, they have to pass through these Agnis. And Vedanta Sutra. In this way, one birth follows another. According to the desire he had in the previous birth, the soul acquires a particular kind of new body. In this way, he attains a certain kind of material nature and a particular status among the caste. According to the ways he acts in the Varnashrama, he gets an appropriate new body at the time of death. Meanwhile, his original spiritual form remains covered, first by the Linga Sharira and then secondly by the Stula Sharira. Vajana Mahas. What is the difference between eternal spiritual body and the Linga Sharira? Because the Buddhists, they have a big confusion. They think that Linga Sharira, subtle body, that itself is a soul. They are big, really confused between mind and the soul. They think mind is a soul and soul is mind. So it's a big problem with them. So he is targeting them. Jains are more confused. Even more. They are loka, loka pravesha. For them there is no destination at all. The more you are higher you attain, there is another destination. Another destination. And for them the soul is like dead as soon as they don't have anything higher to attain. So in this way, loka, loka pravesha. That is, you know, they are too confused. Of course, they are like brothers only, cousins. They are almost same, but Buddhists are, at least you can talk to them, Buddhist. But Jains, you cannot even talk to them. Of course, nobody is Buddhist, nobody is Jain. They don't know what their philosophy is. The eternal body is an atomic particle of spirit. It has no defect. The soul may... Let us see the first question. What is the difference between the eternal spiritual body and Linga Sharira? That means the subtle body and the soul. What is the difference? The eternal body is an atomic spiritual particle. It has no defect. The soul may properly apply the word I to this body alone. That means if I say I, it applies to soul. The Linga Sharira is composed of material perversions of the soul's original mind, intelligence and ego. Prajna, how can mind, intelligence and ego be material? If they are material, how can they be conscious of anything? So, very subtle point. We say mind is material, intelligence. Now, how are they conscious then? If they are material. Now, comes a very, very interesting point. How, when the soul is conditioned, how the consciousness is pervading through the body, to the grass body and subtle body. Krishna explains these two verses you all very well know. Bhumirapo onlovayar kammana buddhireva chankarvityamme vinnapakrutrashtada apremitasvamnyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhutam mahabhava idem dharite jagat. And then you have another verses. which talks about this thing. Ketat yonini bhutani sarvani tyupadharaya aham krishnasya jagataha prabhava pralayasata. Look at these words in Gita Upanishad. Here, two natures, superior, para, inferior, apara, are described. The superior nature is Jiva Shakti, and inferior nature is Maya Shakti. Because it is a particle of spirit, the Jiva Shakti is called superior. On the other hand, the Maya Shakti is made up of matter, and therefore it is called inferior. The individual spirit soul are different from the inferior material energy, material potency. The inferior potency has 8 elements, 5 gross elements, 3 subtle elements. When they are manifested in the material potency, mind, intelligence, false ego, or material nature, these three form a body made of consciousness. But that consciousness is not spiritual, it is material consciousness. From material mind, all else is manifested. The mind is thus conscious of material objects and engaged in direct material activities. In the material mind is the root from which material things grow. It is not the root of spiritual things. The material consciousness is placed in the conception of what is good and what is bad. Ye bhala, ye manda. It is called intelligence. The intelligence is material in nature. From this material intelligence, material ego is manifested. This kind of ego is not spiritual in nature. And these three material elements, mind, intelligence, and ego, combine, they form the second body, which is known as Linga Sharira. The material body of this material Linga Sharira that covers the eternal spirit soul, spiritual ego of the individual spirit souls. In the soul's eternal spiritual form, the spiritual ego understands its relations with the spiritual Krishna Son. When the soul attains liberation, this original spiritual ego becomes covered. When the soul attains liberation, this original spiritual ego becomes uncovered and is openly manifest. As long as the Linga Sharira covers the eternal spiritual form, the soul tends to identify itself with matter. At that time, the truth that the soul is spiritual is almost completely lost. The Linga Sharira is made up of subtle matter, and because it is subtle, it is easily covered by another body, the Stula Sharira, which is made up of gross matter. When the covering of the Stula Sharira is in place, the ego identifies with one of the castes, the groups, Varnas in this world, because they are perverted manifestations of their counterparts in the soul's original spiritual body. The material mind, intelligence, and ego think that they are really conscious of the world around them. So this whole thing, what we just now read, like you preach it everywhere, you know it very well. The I, when I say I, it refers to soul. But what happens when it is conditioned? As soon as it conditioning happens, the first covering is Linga Sharira. Mind, intelligence, and false ego. So the consciousness which is actually coming out of the soul, it mixes with these modes. And these modes make this mind, intelligence, and false ego material. So, though intelligence, mind and false ego, these three things are material, when it is mixed with the conditioned consciousness, they are called material. And they get the power of perceiving things. It is like this, Prabhupada gives the example of water and muddy water. When rain falls, what happens? It mixes with mud. It becomes muddy water. So that muddy water is known as Sangada Chetana or Chit or consciousness. Now in the Bhagavatam, when you study the third canto, it's going to come in next time. Doesn't talk about just mind, intelligence, and false ego, subtle matter. It talks about four things: mind, intelligence, false ego, and contaminated consciousness called Chit. Man, Buddhi, Hankar, and Chit. So, the subtle body is actually not just three, it is four. What are they? Mind, intelligence, false ego, and contaminated consciousness, chit. This contaminated consciousness is three modes mixed with consciousness. So, that gives strength to this mind, intelligence, and false ego to act as if they are conscious. That will come when we discuss in the Bhagavatam, in the third canto, a very deep subject. Since the question was asked, it was described in a brief manner. Now let us go further. I understand now that the individual soul has eternal spiritual form, each limb of which is very graceful, beautiful. When the soul is imprisoned by Maya, that original spiritual form is covered by Linga Shiva. In this way, the soul's beauty is covered and hidden. Then the Linga Sharira is covered by the gross Stula Sharira. In this way, the soul's original form is completely hidden by a great apparatus of material things. My question is this. Is the liberated soul completely perfect and free from all defects? Okay, now you attain liberation, somehow or the other. You go on back to the spiritual world. Now, is it perfect now there? Over, everything is over? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, still problem is there. Many people ask this thing. Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, yad gatva nivartante tad dhamma paramama. Once you go there, you will not come back. Isn't it? Huh? But if you want to come back? So that is explained in this particular thing. Although he is free from defects, the atomic spirit soul is not perfect. Why not? He is very tiny and very weak. For this reason, one defect may be seen in the individual soul because he is weak. When he comes in contact with Maya Shakti, the soul is easily overpowered and his original form becomes covered. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the demigods speak the following prayers. In Niranindaksha Muktamaninas Toya Sadbhavada Vishuddha Buddhaya Aruhya Krichena Param Padam Tata Patan Chadona Dhrishmadangraya. O lotus eyed one who thinks that they are liberated in this life, do not render service, devotional service to the Lord, must have pure, impure intelligence. Although they accept severe austerities and penances to raise to the spiritual position, to the impersonal Brahman realization, they fall down again because they neglect to worship your lotus feet. Therefore, even when he is liberated, the individual spirit soul is not very great and is always imperfect. That is the truth of the individual spirit soul. The Vedas declare that the Supreme Personality of God is the controller of Maya. But on the other hand, the individual spirit soul are so weak that any moment they may be overpowered by Maya. That is the conclusion. At any moment, they can be overpowered by Maya. So now, this discussion is about the living entity in its what? About his own farm. Now starts the next chapter. Chapter 16. That is Prameyantargata Maya Kavarita Jiva Vichar. The living entity's own spiritual identity has been discussed now. Now when the living entity is bound by Maya, how much he suffers? That is described here. That mostly we all know it very well because we are experiencing that. So we don't have, not much of description is given. Not much description we need to go through also. But there are certain salient points. We'll try to cover the 16th chapter now here. So, Prameyantargata Maya Kavirata Jive Vichar. So now we are covered. What first one is what? Amnaya Praha Tattvam. Next one, Hari about the Lord, Supreme Lord. Third one is Sarva Shakti. Rasabdhi is over. Now next one is Jiva. Binnamsha Jivan. That is covered. The sixth one now is Maya Prakriti Kavalitam. That is Maya Kavalitam. Kavalitam means it engrossed or engulfed by Maya. So now... Now the story goes further. There's a big fight actually. At sunset, Vajranath approached the elderly Babaji cottage. He offered dandavat obeisances. The saintly Babaji said, "Last night it rained, so you could not come. You could not come. I am very glad to see you." Vajranath replied, "Oh master, many calamities have fallen upon me. Later I will tell you about them. For now, I'll ask you this question. The individual soul is pure spirit. Why does the calamity of residing in the material world fall upon him? The saintly Babaji smiled and recited this verse. What happened was, there is a story behind it. I did not give it in the imprinting, it's a long story. What happened when this Vajranath went home, then there's a big thing going on. His grandmother was really afraid he may do something. And she finalized a girl for him to get married. Then what to do? Now he's in big tension. So then he had another one cousin. She was trying to convince him, this cousin. Somehow make him get understand that he should get married. This cousin plays a double role here. He tries to say, why don't you get married? He says, no, somehow or other I have come in contact with this Babaji. From time onwards, I am just thinking about this wonderful subject matter. I am hearing nectar from him. I am so happy. I feel now I just want to take sannyas. Acha, is it so? Oh, I'll help you in this. In this way, he tries to act in such a way that I'll help you. At the same time, I was playing a double role. Saying that, no, I'll somehow or the other, I'll make sure that his connection with Babaji will be destroyed. So it goes on. He's in a great anxiety, great trouble, Vajranath. So he says, anyhow, that trouble I'll explain to you later. But for now, I want to know that what is the trouble which the living entity is experiencing. I want to know about it.
Swarupartairhinam nijasukapparam krishna vimukhan harer maya danyam guna nigada jatei kalayati tatras tulardinga dividartair klesha nikarair mahakalamatnair nyayati patitam swarga nirato nirayo.
Covering them with gross and subtle material forms, chaining them with the modes of nature, and pulling them with the painful ropes of karma, maya leads to swarga and to hell. The criminal souls, who forgetting their own spiritual welfare, had turned from Krishna and become intent on their own happiness. So now he goes on explaining about how all these things happened. Very interesting paragraph. In Goloka, which is manifested by Baldev, and in Vaikuntha, which is manifested by Sankarsana, numberless souls, individual souls, are eternal associates of the Lord. There, they taste the nectar of worshipping and serving the Lord. They are always inclined to spiritual things. They seek happiness of worshipping the Lord. They are always eager to serve the Lord, empowered by Lord's Jiva Shakti and Chit Shakti. They always have great spiritual strength. They never touch Maya. They do not even know the potency of Maya Shakti exists. Staying in the middle of circle of the spiritual world, they are very far away from Maya. They always swim in the ocean of pleasure in worshipping and serving the Lord. They know nothing of suffering material pleasure or selfish pleasure. They are eternally liberated. Love for the Lord is their entire life. What a grief, death and fear they do not know. When he glances on Maya, Lord Kshirodakshi Vishnu sends numberless atomic spirit souls to the material world. Because they are now on Maya's side, the many creations of Maya now enter the pathway of their eyes. These souls have all qualities of the soul I have already described. However, because they are atomic in size, from the border of the matter and spirit, Tatastha, they must place their glance either on spiritual world or material world. The individual souls are very weak. How can this not be? The soul did not obtain the spiritual strength that comes from Lord's mercy. Mercy that comes from properly serving him. That is why these souls develop a desire to enjoy pleasures that Maya offers. These souls enter Maya world, and this Maya impressions imprisons, and there Maya imprisons them for what seems an eternity. When the souls again turn to spiritual life and service to God, they can attain the Lord's mercy, which will give them spiritual strength. Then they return to the spiritual world. Baba, I am very unfortunate.
I have forgotten that I eternally am servant of Krishna. I have entered Maya's world and here Maya keeps me imprisoned. I have forgotten my own spiritual welfare. I am unfortunate. Rajanath, O Master, why did some souls leave the borderline of matter, spirit, and enter the world of Maya? Why did not the other souls? Very logical question. Lord Krishna's own qualities are present in very small degree in individual souls. Because Lord Krishna has free will, so the souls eternally possess small quantity of free will. When that free will is used properly, the individual souls is favorable to Krishna and turns towards him. When the free will is misused, the soul is averse to Krishna and turns away from him. Then the soul tries to enjoy Maya. Puffed up with pretty pride, the soul thinks, I am the enjoyer of matter. Then the pure spiritual form of the soul becomes covered by five kinds of ignorance that begin with illusion and false ego. Thus, it is the proper or improper use of free will that brings us either liberation or imprisonment in this world. Concept of free will is clearly spoken. This is all, you know it very well, free will. Prajna, Lord Krishna is supremely merciful. Why then did he make the individual souls so weak and they fall into Maya world? Re Prabhu, here Krishna is merciful at the same time playful also. As he is merciful, so Krishna is also playful. Desiring many different kinds of pastimes with individual souls in many different conditions of life, he created many exalted conditions which culminate in Mahabhava. And also he created, with the help of Radha's expansion Maya, the degraded material condition of life, which reach there neither in Ahankara, the soul's misunderstanding with matter. In this way, by the influence of Sri Radha, there is the attainment of limitless transcendental bliss, and by the influence of Maya, there is a descent into the lower depths. The soul thus enters Maya's abyss, are not interested in their own spiritual well-being. They are averse to Lord Krishna and interested in their own selfish pleasure. Thus they go down lower and lower. However, supremely merciful Lord Krishna sends his own personal associates from his own spiritual world into the material world to make these souls favorable to him and to lift them out of the abyss. In this way, some of the fallen souls gradually become elevated and eventually return to the spiritual world, where they become eternal associates of the Lord. Yes?
So according to this, Krishna created a material world.
Yes.
So he could enjoy a different kind of play.
Yes. Krishna has got three kinds of leelas. Chinmay leela, number one. That is Srishti leela. Number two, number three is Kripa Leela. Now, we should understand the jivas, as described in the previous chapter, they are tatastha. The very word tatastha implies there is an opportunity for every jiva to fall in matter. So Krishna's creation of this material world is also one of his mercy. That is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Tattva Sutras, he says one sutra, Karunyam Tatkriya. Karunyam Tatkriya. Here the word Kriya refers to creation. Creation is also mercy of Krishna. If you see Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, in one of the prayers, Prahlad Maharaj says, O Lord, till now I thought this world is horrible. Till now I thought this world is horrible. Now I understand this world is actually a playground of your mercy. A playground of your mercy. So, this material creation of the material world is Leela. Lord coming in this world and taking the conditioned soul back is Leela. The problem is not with the Lord. It is with me who has misused the In spite of I misusing the freedom, the Lord has never forgotten me. I have forgotten Krishna.
But he has not forgotten me. Of course, you may say, why he made me forget? Because it was your desire to enjoy. So you cannot enjoy without forgetting Krishna. Suppose, for example, there is a nice, wonderful plate of so many nice eatables. You come and sit. And you're about to eat. Somebody says, Prabhu, this plate is for this devotee. Will you eat it? Why? Because you know it belongs to somebody. So you can enjoy only when you think this is mine. So a jiva, when he wants to enjoy, Krishna removes the memory of the jiva that everything belongs to him. So that is also mercy of Krishna. In that way, this has to be understood. Am I clear with your question? No. What was your question again? Let me come back.
Because here it is said, like he says, as he is merciful, so Krishna is also playful. So that kind of puts the whole
thing that on Krishna.
Like it sounds like it's Krishna's desire. Because like usually...
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
Emphasis is, okay, yes, the soul chose out of free will. But here it's like, well, Krishna is playful, that's why...
But yeah, the word playful may be misinterpreted. That is what is your basic thing. The word playful is explained in this particular way, that how his creation is also Leela. And he coming and then taking back home back to earth, that is also Leela. So Krishna has to do that. That is a thing which is called playful. It is not that Krishna, he created and he wants to see the living entity suffering. No, that is not the case. If that is the case, that makes him merciless. So Krishna, along with he doing pastimes in the spiritual world, he also does pastimes in the material world to reclaim. That is why karunyam tat kriya. So now, of course, the word which is used here, playful, that may be misinterpreted, saying that, oh, Krishna is playful. That means he wants to see this living entity suffer. So that bhava may come. But But the English word, na, playful. That is the reason. If you say the kripa leela, the word playful here refers to kripa leela, technically. Kripa leela. You know, how do you say kripa leela? You know the kripa leela? Mercy. His show of mercy is also a pastime. Like Chinmay Leela, you have this world, what he does in this world is Kripa Leela. For he comes to this world, that is Kripa Leela. So not that, you know, Krishna likes you suffering. That is not the thing. Actually, when somebody suffers in this world, many people attribute to Krishna. They say, what do you say? Oh God, why did you do this thing to me? They are attributing the suffering to Krishna is because they know, they think that there can be happiness in this world also. They don't understand that the happiness in this world is also suffering. When we say we are suffering this world, it is not just the suffering in this world is suffering. Everything in this world is suffering. So Krishna sees that. That everything in this world is suffering because you have forgotten. Okay, let's go further. Why must the individual soul suffer so that the Lord can enjoy pastimes like this? Your question is coming here. Let us see. I think some similarity between you and Rajanath. What should be said in this? It is by the great mercy. See, you know, I am not that Babaji, but still, I use this word Kripa Leela many times. It is by the great mercy of the Lord that the individual souls have free will. Why not speak that way? Inanimate matter is very lowly and unimportant because it has no free will. It is because they have free will that the law, individual souls can become masters of the world of matter. Pain and pleasure are two destinations that the mind can attain. What you and I may call pain, another person who is attached to it may call pleasure. A material pleasure brings only pain at the end. They do not lead to anything but that. Therefore, a person attached to material pleasure becomes unhappy at the end. When that unhappiness becomes very acute, the soul begins to desire happiness that is not mixed with suffering. From that desire comes intelligence, and from the intelligence comes spirit to inquire. From the spirit of inquiry comes association of saintly persons. From association of saintly persons comes faith in spiritual life, and from that faith in spiritual life one becomes gradually elevated. In this way, what began as pain became at the end the giver of auspicious happiness. When it is heated and burnished, impure gold becomes pure. In the same way, when they suffer in Maya's material world, the impure souls averse to Krishna and yearning to enjoy Maya becomes purified. That this suffering turns into the giver of happiness in the misery is the mercy of Lord Krishna. Therefore, they who are far-sighted see that these sufferings of the conditioned soul eventually brings auspicious happiness. They are short-sighted, cannot see that. They see only suffering. Okay, some answer? That is what happens when a conditioned soul speaks. It doesn't enter. When liberated soul like Babaji speaks, it enters. I feel that I spoke the same thing, but it did not enter. But I read exactly what Bhaktivinoda Thakur told. It entered. Okay, chalo. It's an important point. Huh? It is not the subject. When the subject is spoken by a liberated soul, a pure soul, it just enters, even though it is illogical. Even though it's so presented logically, all these things, it's presented by conditioned soul, it doesn't enter. Until unless the receiver is also very pure. That is why Prabhupada lectures, and Prabhupada speaks, it's something amazing. You see, sometimes Prabhupada gives just half an hour class, thousands become devotees. They just understand. Even though they would not understand, they understand. Sometimes you go on with all your logic and arguments and give a class and a presentation, all this projector and all these things. Everybody says, wonderful, understood everything. But they will do whatever they are doing before. They will not change. They are as it is. Isn't it? I was surprised at things when, you know, in India we have this Bhagavad Gita course, 7 days and what is soul and all. It's a very scientific presentation. And I saw Prabhupada has spoken all these things, but he has not done like the way it is done, very systematic, one leads to the other, in any of the lectures, a series of 7 days and doing that. We do so much, people come so much, but they don't surrender at the end of the class. Prabhupada, half an hour class, everybody would understand. So that's the potency in the words of a liberated soul. Okay. Vrajanath, although they may bring happiness at the end, for the present the conditioned soul sufferings are very painful. Could not all powerful God invent a different path? One without these sufferings. You know, suffering, God is all merciful Lord, like Christians. Jesus will come, don't worry, he'll remove, take all your sufferings and sins unto you, you can enjoy. Lord Krishna enjoys many different kinds of wonderful pastimes. This is one of wonderful pastimes. A person who is supremely independent can enjoy many different kinds of pastimes, and this may be one of his name. Why not? If the Lord has every kind of pastime, then no pastime may be rejected. If one pastime is subordinate for other, then still another kind of trouble must be expected. Lord Krishna is the supreme person and creator. Everyone is subject to his will. If one person is subject to another will, is there not some difficulty in that? If that difficulty eventually leads to happiness, then it is no difficulty at all. Why do you say that it is suffering and difficulty?
If to expand Lord Krishna's pastime, the individual souls go through some difficulty, the difficulty only difficulties are only happiness. Lord Krishna's pastimes are naturally full of bliss. If an individual soul of his own free will voluntarily leaves those pastimes and enter the world of Maya and accepts the suffering there, then if anyone is at fault, it is the individual soul who is at fault. Krishna is not at fault. So who is to be blamed? I am to be blamed. Why blame Krishna? And what is the nature of the conditioned soul? He blames. Oh God, how cruel you are. Cruel. God has become very cruel. Cruel. When tsunami came, there was an article, how God became very cruel. In India, there was a big tsunami which came a few years back. I read one article. Has God become cruel? So, a newspaper, somebody see here, please read it. And the writer, he was like blaming God for so much. How he has become so cruel. His logic was, how can God, if God is punishing, do you think everybody who died or did some sinful activity? And his other argument was, if at all they have done sinful activity, is it that all did the same kind of bad thing to be punished in the same way? So anyway, he had given 10 arguments in that. One boy brought me that and showed me. Then he asked me, Prabhuji, what reply we should give? Then I just told him one thing, that those who were killed, what they were doing, Prabhuji, they were all enjoying them. First let him answer, were they enjoying? Were they enjoying? So very fact is, we think the enjoyment in the material field is enjoyment. Suffering in the material field, that is suffering. But even enjoyment in matter, that is suffering. That is the first ignorance which people have in this world. People think material suffering is suffering. Material enjoyment is enjoyment. Baba, it is not so. Material enjoyment is also suffering. And suffering is also suffering. So when we say suffering, it doesn't refer to... it refers to forgetfulness of Krishna. It doesn't refer to material suffering. Isn't it? That's where many people understand. So, I don't know how long this is. It's quite long. We can go for 10-15 minutes or will we stop here? What do you feel? Should we stop here? We'll stop here, I suppose. Can we have one more hour extra tomorrow? Because other three are there. They are quite short. Means four are there. Achintya Bheda Bheda. Number one is Sadhana. Prayojana, that is sadhana and sadhya, and ultimately we have this another one, liberated soul. These four are there. These four things are quite short, so we can do it in second half.